Good evening. Have you been encouraged so far? Have you been blown away by God's ability? Have you been impressed about God's healing power? Do you think perhaps tonight God might actually work a miracle in you? There's a question. The Bible's full of stories of Jesus healing people. And one I want to open up in a short while this evening is Mark chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, great. If not, don't worry, just listen up. It's Mark chapter 2, and it's Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. All right? You ready? And I'll just read this out to us. I'm reading from the NIV if you've got that. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he came home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Now why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that that was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What a story. So imagine if we were gathered in a room a quarter of the size of this sanctuary. It would be even hotter than it is right now. It's kind of boiling right now. But imagine the hustle and bustle, the crowds of people in this tiny space, and there is Jesus in the middle. Now, why did they come to see Jesus? Because they recognized that he was somebody special. They recognized that he was the Son of God. They recognized he had power. He spoke with authority, and they wanted to hear. Now, if you had the coolest guy around you who you recognized had these incredible powers, you would want to hang out with him to learn more, to listen, to soak up all that he had to teach. And that's what they were doing with Jesus. So imagine a hot evening and the sun's belting down and it's all hot outside. And the next thing you know, there's some dust dropping down from the roof. Now, if I was the house owner, at this point, I would be a little concerned. But not only was there dust falling from the roof, there was rubble falling down from the ceiling in amongst them. So now we're covered in rubble and there's Jesus in the middle, probably white with the dust. And the roof's gaping hole appears. And imagine looking up and seeing four faces. Not your everyday occurrence. So you're looking up, you're seeing the four faces, and the next thing you know, there's a blanket being lowered down in amongst all of them. And there's a friend of theirs, a dear friend, who is struggling, who is paralyzed, being lowered slowly down in front of them. And he's lowered right down in amongst the crowds. That's how to get first front row seats, isn't it? Right down in the crowd in front of Jesus at his feet. How amazing is that in itself? But Jesus sees the faith of the friends. And he turns to the man that's paralyzed and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, what would the first thing be that we would think of if we saw that man lying on the mat? Would it be, "Son, your sins need forgiven"? Or would it be, "Excuse me, there's an elephant in the room, the man can't walk, we really need that dealt with"? But what Jesus saw was a physical situation that was temporary. It was temporary. And over and above that, he looked deep down and he saw a spiritual situation that was eternal. There were the two things. Now, if you've got a temporary situation, an eternal situation, Jesus in his wisdom dealt with the eternal one first. He was concerned about the man's soul. He was concerned about his eternal destiny. He was concerned about what was going on unseen inside his heart. And we heard this morning about the void that's there that we try and fill with all these other activities and experiences when in fact the only thing that can fill that void is the Lord Jesus. And he recognized inside you there's a gap you need forgiven. You need your sins forgiven. But the teachers were confused and disgruntled. And they thought Jesus was being blasphemous because they thought that only God could forgive sins. But Jesus, God's Son, understood the authority he had. Man's understanding was only God could do this. Jesus' understanding was he had been given that authority from the Father to forgive sins. To sort out not just the temporary state, but the eternal state, the one that was far greater of an urgency. We sometimes consider that our physical conditions are of such importance that at times we forget the necessity to have our sins forgiven. We forget that the body is temporary. What's in here is forever. Where we're going to spend eternity is of greater urgency. That's something that needs dealt with first. And that's what Jesus did. How amazing is that? So you can imagine him turning and looking at the leaders thinking, yeah, I know what you're on. But how much, what does he say? Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to a paralyzed man? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk. Now I think I would think both were quite difficult. But for Jesus, the eternal thing was the more difficult thing to sort. And he forgave him. He's concerned with the physical state of the man. And he said to him, I tell you, take up your mat and go home. So he dealt with the internal and then he dealt with the elephant in the room, the physical. Do you know, these things still happen today. Jesus can still heal the paralyzed. He can still heal the bones of people that are dysfunctional. I remember praying for someone in a previous church who his spine was all misaligned because he'd had a critical accident. And it was touch and go whether he was going to be alive and whether he was going to be able to walk. And I remember picking him up with another guy at the beginning of the week. He was come to do some work with us in the church we were in at the time. And he hobbled all the way around. And in the church we were in, it was up and downstairs. And the Sunday night we had a healing service, and I remember myself and Gordon, that was our pastor at the time, we prayed for this guy. And as you put your hands on his back, we just prayed in faith. Jesus, will you heal him through the power of the Holy Spirit? And that man's bones shifted. And he said, hold on a second. And he took off his shoes, and he didn't need one that was wedged higher than the other. And he started running up and down the church. I couldn't believe it. I'd seen it with my own eyes, and my own hands were used as part of a vessel from God's power to feel and to, I suppose, encourage my faith that this really happens. That click, and off he went. A new man was going home at the end of the week. When I was pregnant with Aaron, when I first found out we were in France, and I went for my first scan. And I remember them looking at the scan, and we'd taken Chloe and Taylor, so they were about two, three at the time. No, they mustn't be. It must have been old. Doesn't matter. Come and see the scan of your new baby brother. And there we were, and we had a look at this scan, and we couldn't see his left foot. I said, where's his foot? It's not there. And the doctor said, no, it's okay, it's fine. When you go back to Scotland, you'll need surgery. It just needs shifted back round. Well, can you imagine, women? You're lying there, high as kite in hormones. You've got your wee ones there to see the new baby on the TV screen. And then you find out that your son's foot is missing. Can't see it. Oh, it's fine. He said, take another scan before you go home if you like. But if not, wait to go home to Scotland. Thought, no, we'll have another one here. Because then it'd be 19 weeks detailed scan week. So we went for another one. He said, no, it's folded in. We can't see it at all. So we paid for the privilege of being told this distressing news. and then left the hospital. All right, kids, we're fine, really. And inside, feeling like your world had been torn apart. The times I spent with God were precious at those moments. And there was a program on TV, Extreme Prophetic. And the girl that was speaking on it was Patricia King. And I remember saying to Tim, we need to watch this tonight. I don't know why, but we have to watch this program. And she said on it, as these people do quite often, there's somebody watching TV tonight and you believe your child will need surgery. Well, I'm here to tell you, your child will not need surgery. So boy, did we, I'm having that one. I'm claiming that one. And I remember clearly standing with my hands on my tummy repeatedly, God, will you heal this child? Will you heal him? Came back to Scotland, week 25, had the booking in scan. And not only could we not see Aaron's left foot, we couldn't see his right one either at that point. I said, they're both folded in. She said, yes. Now, I had hung on and clung on to this promise of God for dear life. And if you're a woman, you know what that's like. You want the best for your child. And I remember getting off the bed and going to the loo and just completely breaking it down, thinking, God, you've given me a duff card here. This is not what I signed up for. And I'm sure if you've been in that position, you're angry with God. And God was gracious, and he listened, and I was very honest, and I shouted lots and cried repeatedly. But the amazing thing was, turning up in hospital to have Aaron, who was there but the midwife that had delivered our sons, so our twins, so we had security in the midwife that was there. When he appeared, yes, both ankles were turned in, bilateral talipes, and both feet were like this. But we had the consultant that was pioneering a new treatment in Scotland, looking after our son. We had the best physio in Scotland pioneering this treatment with the consultant. Had we had Aaron in any other hospital outside of Kirkcaldy that time, he would automatically have had surgery. So from day five, there we were, every week getting plaster casts from his thigh right the way down to his toes and both legs, and then manipulating them out and out and out. And do you know, by week three, they took them off. And they were manipulating his ankles and all the rest. And I could see they were fine by then. They'd gone from that to that. And she said to me, this child will not need surgery. Word for word, the promise God had given us. So what our earthly eyes saw was different from what God was doing. God had a plan. Now, this boy is coming up 8 years old. He kicks pretty much anything that moves. He walks fine. He loves football. He's got a mean left kick. And he just is besotted with football. So be encouraged tonight. When you come forward for prayer, there's 100% chance you will be healed like that. But you know what? If you're not, hold on to the promise. Jesus is a healer. God loves every detail of our lives. His promises will and do come true. Amen? This evening we have an opportunity for two things. One, we can take an opportunity to come forward and receive physical healing, emotional healing, any kind of healing you're looking for. That's one. But equally, we have healing that comes from Jesus Christ, and we mustn't forget that. It's not the prayer team's powers, it's Jesus' power, and the power of the Holy Spirit through them who wants to come and heal. But we also have an opportunity to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins from Jesus Christ. A chance to put right your relationship with God by asking Jesus into our hearts. Forgiveness of our sins. A turning away from doing life ourselves, and an opportunity to surrender ourselves to Jesus, to receive his forgiveness of sins like the paralyzed man, and to have our eternal destiny transformed forever. Two things tonight we can contemplate. We're going to move into a time of worship and music, but after that we're going to move into a time of ministry. And how this works is it's really not freaky. If the E team, want to come forward at the end or towards the end of the ministry time, they will stand here. And if you would like prayer for healing tonight, we just invite you to come forward. This is a safe place. We are people of faith, And God is a good God. So I would invite you, as Kat said, and as Marion has said, come forward for prayer. Risk it. Test God on this. But equally, if you don't want to do that, but you've got someone in your heart you want to pray for, you're welcome to come and kneel at the cross and pray for them, either for healing or for God to help them in a time of suffering. The choice is yours. But do we believe God can move tonight? Amen. Let's pray. And then, Mark, if you could lead us, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your awesomeness. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through you we are healed. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your power. And we invite you to come now in this place. We invite you, Father God, to come and be glorified and honored here. Oh, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and move in power. Jesus, will you come and heal those asking you, seeking your face for healing tonight? And Lord Jesus, where people are seeking you for a fresh revelation and a freshness in their faith in you and their relationship with you, Lord Jesus, will you meet them this evening in Jesus' name? Father, we give you this time. We submit to your glory. We submit to your will. And we invite you now, Lord Jesus, to meet us in this place.